Welcome to the Penny and Pops podcast. He's Spencer Penny Strode. I'm Adam Pops Papa Giorgio. Your Orlando Magic are 37-26, currently the fourth seed in the East, winners of five games in a row, 13 of our last 16 contests. We're taking advantage of a favorable portion of our schedule and are arguably the hottest team in the NBA at the moment. Not only are we on pace to finish with a top six seed in the East, avoiding the play-in altogether, but we've got a legitimate chance to host a first-round playoff series. Let's go.
Hardaway, straight down the lane, the power jam. Point guard on a 7-6 guy.
Here's Lewis turning and he shoots. Yes! With four and 1 2 seconds.
Here's Turkaloo for the win.
All right, we are recording this Thursday, call it late afternoon, March 7th, before the night's NBA action begins. So Heat and Pacers, they have tough games tonight. It's nice to have League Pass for free during this stretch where almost every night there's playoff seed jostling occurring. The Magic are 37-26. It's the first time we're double-digit games over 500 since 2012. Which, I don't know, that kind of surprised me. I could have sworn we had snuck that in somehow over the past dozen years, Penny. I don't know. Were you surprised that this is the first time we're double-digit games over 500 in a dozen years?
Yes and no. it's been a blight for the last decade plus, more or less.
So we are currently on a five-game winning streak, which is actually the longest in the league currently. We can thank the Celtics for that choke job in Cleveland. We're 13-3 in our last 16 games played. We're basically the hottest or second hottest team next to the Celtics, depending on how you look at it. And now we're in the final stretch of this regular season. You know, everybody's basically got 20 or fewer than 20 games left in this 82-game regular season. And right now, health and consistency across the Eastern Conference are helping us a bit here as we sit in the fourth seed. This is when, you know, you want to be gearing up for the playoffs, ideally. And, you know, the Magic, they're still posting a top five defense. Offensively, we're still bottom 10 in the league, but that's okay because there's been signs of life from three-point range, especially. Kind of that organic growth within has kind of helped a lot. Like Suggs, Carter, even Anthony Black are all shooting really well from deep. We're just seeing shooting improvements all along. Injury-wise for us, it's been an issue. We can't deny that we haven't had issues between like Wendell, Isaac, Fultz, and Gary Harris, you know, as guys that are coming in and out of the lineup. Like we had two games without Paolo due to illness. But overall, I think we're doing better health-wise than say like the Knicks without, you know, Jalen Brunson, Randall, OG Anunoby. The Sixers are still without Embiid. He might be out till the end of basically the middle, maybe towards the end of April or towards the start of April, basically. Now looking at the Cavs, who are third in the standings above us, they're without Donovan Mitchell still, and Evan Mobley could be out a while. We've got to take advantage as long as we can. And I mean, we're taking advantage of this stretch, right, Penny? I mean, we're 21-8 at home, and we have the third best home record in the East, and we're beating the teams we should be beating, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the important thing is we weathered the storm in terms of, you know, difficult road stretches and injuries and strength of schedule type stuff. And now we should be reaping the rewards here to kind of close out the year. And so far, so good.
Yeah, look, our 3 years of injury despair that caused our rebuild to happen to begin with, hopefully that stays away. Like, again, overall, we're doing okay, even though, like I said, we have like four guys in and out of the lineup here and there. But we've been winning a lot of games, again, despite Mosley having to play around with starting lineups and rotations. And we're doing this with our two best guys, Paolo and Franz, going through either illness or getting hacked to death constantly with, like, their arms bleeding or, like, you know, normal shooting growing pains that you'd expect from 22 and 21 year old basketball studs. Penny, I think we talked about this last time, but there's no denying at the moment that Jalen Suggs is the Magic's third best player on the team right now, right? Like, you could make an argument for Jonathan Isaac if he wasn't sitting out so many games, but it's got to be Suggs, right? Even though he is like a walking wounded guy right now, is Jalen just moving around each game. Like, he could really spend like an entire week in a tub to heal up, but you know, Jalen, he's getting it done, man. He's shooting 39.3% from three on the year. There should be some most improved player discussion with him, I think, considering some of the names that are being floated now. And he should be on an all-defensive team. Is Jalen the third guy right now, Penny?
If he's not the third best guy, he at least has to look like the third best player on the team to your eye, just in terms of obviously the threes going down at a consistent rate, as you mentioned, and then what he's doing on the defensive end visually is hard to ignore, especially when you have all those possessions where he's basically denying the ball all the way out to half court, making it a tough catch, and then hounding the guy into a miss at the end of the, you know, possession. So I think aesthetically and to the eye, certainly he's impacting the game. And then obviously you also see it on the stat sheet and in the record too.
So since the All-Star break ended, cause that was the last time we potted, I'm going to quickly go over some of the later games, but we'll talk a bit about these kind of recent games. But, you know, February 22nd came out of the break. We were at Cleveland out of the gate. Paolo and Donovan Mitchell were questionable due to illness. I wasn't happy, you know, and Paolo ended up playing. Mitchell did not. So, again, credit to Banchero for just really just fighting through illness. I wasn't happy with Mosley's lineup choices throughout this game. I've questioned some lineup stuff in certain games, but we're winning. So if that's all the nitpicking I can do with Mosley, then I'm more than happy with that. You know, this Cavs game was pretty physical, and it started getting chippy in the fourth quarter when Mo Wagner was just bulldozing Evan Mobley. Cole and Mo were just huge for us in the fourth, despite me thinking that Anthony Black and Goga Bitadze should have been in more at that point. But we went up double digits in the fourth, and then, you know, a sick Paolo, he got into some BS foul trouble as well, but he hit that dagger three to basically put the game out of reach. And we won a huge game in Cleveland. You know, bench points, the Magic had a 63-24 bench point advantage over the Cavs. And that was just a massive win because Cleveland was regarded as a hot team still at that point when we beat them. Two nights later, February 24th, Magic at the Pistons. Not much to say other than Paolo had that crazy baseline fadeaway game winner at the end. Then just that awesome and emotional walk-off interview for Paolo. I mean, look, this game was, it's crazy. Detroit's going to be feisty no matter what here towards the end. And you just found a way to win despite some ugly play and Paolo wasn't feeling 100%. And that interview really was a lot of fans really gave Paolo a lot of credit and praise for that awesome email or for that interview. And he dropped like three F-bombs in that interview too. I don't have a list right now of like clutch player of the year awards, but I feel like Paolo is top in that kind of finalist category, maybe for clutch player of the year. Cause he's got some game winners under his belt. He's got plenty of last minute clutch numbers under his belt. If the Magic somehow finish in the top four in the East, like he might win that award. I can't think of one off the top of my head that's definitively better than him, but I think he's going to get nominated for this award. I don't know, Penny, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly been a handful of buzzer beaters. And, you know, if you extrapolate that out further into the definition of clutch time, which is the, 5 minutes, 5 points or less, he's been pretty magnificent. Get to a bunch of other stuff later, but you speak about the four seed. Josh Robbins had an article in The Athletic basically saying, Mosley is and should be in consideration to at least be on the ballot for Coach of the Year. Do you think that fourth seed Magic finish is the cutoff for any of those postseason awards for player or coach?
Yeah, but it's almost like we'd have to get to 50 wins though for me to really be confident in it, just because we have a lot of catching up to do national media wise. Like, we don't have any nationally televised games scheduled right now for the rest of the regular season. Like, we've got NBA TV bullshit games that don't count, but like, I think we have to get to 50 wins somehow for a lot of this to be really possible. As far as, I mean, I haven't looked at the numbers, but you know, Marcus Smart won Defensive Player of the Year a couple of years ago, right? Like, where does Suggs' numbers compare to Marcus Smart's numbers in that regard? I'd actually be willing to bet that Suggs' numbers are better, but I haven't looked at them. And plus, people like giving like big men that award. Like, Rudy Gobert is like a runaway favorite for this DPOY award right now, but I feel like Suggs should be in that. Suggs should be an all defensive first team guy. Isaac, if he played a few more games, he'd probably be, you know, in the running for all defensive second team, despite him coming off the bench and all that, because he's been that impactful. But Suggs needs to be on an all defensive team, and he needs to be in the at least chatter for DPOY. Coach of the year, I mean, what's the list? It's Dagnall for OKC. I'm probably saying his name wrong. Finch in Minnesota. I guess Mazzulla in the East. And then Mosley, right? That's the four guys. So I'd be willing to bet that if we finish top four, like, I think Mosley gets a finalist spot. I think he would get it over, I don't know, whichever the two West teams don't get in. Like, I know. Because Mazzulla, I gave Mazzulla a lot of shit for him not being that great of a head coach. And I still don't think he's that great of a coach come playoff time. But the Boston's got such a high record that it's tough to deny him that. So then it's like, okay, do you take Finch or Dagnall off the list? And it's probably going to be one of those coming off and Mosley going in, because coaches love Mosley. Media are starting to really realize how beloved Mosley is by our locker room. And I think he becomes a finalist. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. The other guy that's been kind of bandied about, which take it or leave it, is JB Bickerstaff. Obviously, the Cavs are, you know,
No, they're
above the
floundering a bit
Magic.
now. No,
But
that's, I don't think that's happening now.
I don't know that he's top. I don't know how they do it anymore. They don't do the award show. But I don't know if he's going to be top three, but I certainly think there's a case to be made for him making, you know, the lower end of the ballots. And hell, anything over 45 wins, I feel like, is a testament to how the year has gone under his leadership.
Well, yeah, I mean, we went from what, 22 wins to 34, and now we're already at 37 wins with a month and over a month in the season left. Like, that's pretty damn great. So, all right, quickly talk about our last loss that we've had was that second night of a back-to-back in Atlanta. No Trae Young, no Okongwu for the Hawks. Paolo missed his first game of the season with that illness. Like, he finally succumbed to the illness. So we're not going to have an 82 game Ironman this season. It was an ugly game in Atlanta. Like, we fought hard early. Like, Caleb and Fultz helped a ton, and then Isaac went down. He got hurt and left the game, which ended up thankfully only being a left knee strain in that regard. I thought he hyperextended his knee when that happened, but you know, Isaac didn't miss too much time, too many games there. But and Franz was carrying the starters. You know, Caleb did have four first half threes, which was massive. Like, we were up 51-45 in this game at halftime. And then throughout like that first 28, 30 minutes of the game, Suggs was drilling like timely threes during like the first 2.5 quarters. And then he really started limping badly, and he just kind of tailed off, and so did we as a team. Like, DeJounte Murray killed us, hidden triple double stats in that game. Franz then got in foul trouble late in the third, and you know, Atlanta finished that third quarter an 18-1 run, which saw the Magic trail 83-70 going to that final quarter. And it's, you know, we didn't come close after that, and I chalked it off to a schedule loss in that regard with no Paolo, and then just Isaac went out. There's probably some like mental trauma going on there too with the roster. Like, I, you know, it sucks losing Atlanta, but it just whatever. Second night of back to back, I'm not bitching about that. And then February 27th, Nets Magic. This was Stuff's birthday, which for people that don't know, Stuff's birthday can land anywhere in the month of February. It was funny enough. My mom used to think, which I won't reveal her exact date in February that her birthday is, but there was a good stretch of time where Stuff's birthday actually landed on my mom's birthday. And she literally thought she shared the same birthday as Stuff. But I had to break it to her that it lands in the month of February. It's not on your same date, mom. Sorry. But so, yeah, Isaac was out for this February 27th game. Paolo was out again. This would be the last game he would miss. Kevin Ollie coaching the Nets now after Jacques Vaughn got canned. The Wagner brothers had huge first halves against the Nets. Magic were up 20 early in the third. You know, Magic were up like 78-51 after Suggs just posterized the shit out of Nick Claxton. This was like an audition opportunity for Claxton to try and garner some Magic offseason interest. And Claxton kind of definitely failed in this game. I don't know. I didn't feel like the Magic were up 30 in this game. It did not feel like a 30-point Magic lead, but we were up that high, and it was a calm blowout win. We needed it, and this was the start of our 5-game winning streak that we're on now. And you know, we held the Nets to 81 points. It was like the fewest points they had scored on the season, and the 81 points was the fewest the Magic had given up to an opponent this season. Jazz Magic Leap Day, so February 29th. J.I. was out due to illness this time, not because of the knee strain. And I'm not happy that no reporter asked or figured out if the illness that Isaac had was the same illness that Paolo had. But anyway, Isaac was out. Paolo was back in, and Paolo looked normal in this Utah game. So the few games off helped him a ton. You know, we went down early in the third of this game, and then we went ahead later in that third. So, you know, the Jazz, they were reining in threes to keep the game tight. But Fultz then had like some big free throws in the fourth when our team as a whole just kind of struggled to hit free throws. And then Paolo and Suggs just got it done and closed the game out. And that was our 34th win of the season, which again equaled last season's total right then and there.
Yeah.
Funny enough, apparently during the broadcast, they figured out, I think David Steele said that apparently it was Paul Porter's birthday. So apparently Paul Porter is a leap day baby. And if we take Wikipedia for granted, you know, as valid, apparently Paul Porter is 70 years old now. So he's still getting it done. He's still making the drive from Tampa every game day to call Magic games when he's not calling Tampa Bay Lightning games. And just enjoy the David Steele and Paul Porter ride. And yep. I just want us to win the championship for those guys so that whenever they want to retire, they can retire knowing that they've got championship rings. So any comments on any of these last few games before I move on to March, Benny?
I just want to thank the Magic and also for wrapping up the Brooklyn Nets game early, and also the refs for stringing out the video replay reviews in the fourth quarter when things were out of hand, because it did allow me to toggle away on League Pass to watch the like three-quarter court Max Strus shot live. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't watch it live. I mistakenly decided to wait and watch them go through like a 7-minute delay. So you did the right thing. But that highlight blew up on Twitter real quick when that happened. That thing was nuts, man. I wasn't planning on talking about it, but the Mavericks are in a bit of trouble. And Luka Doncic doesn't look too happy right now being a Maverick. So stay tuned with that. All right, March 3rd, Magic host the Pistons, because all these damn Detroit games just stacked up on top of each other during this part of the schedule. But Patrick Joseph Air Garrity was in the building being honored by the Magic. He had a really
often do you think Samuel Dalembert thinks about Pat Garrity?
Probably once a week still, right? I mean, I've never seen a situation, tell me if I'm wrong, and you know, we've been watching basketball a long time now. I've never seen a situation where a guy who was the best shot blocker in the NBA got posterized by, we'll call it a role player, although Pat meant more than just a role player, but got posterized by Pat and then just fell off the face of the earth from a defensive perspective, just became just a shit defender until he fell out of the league. That's what happened to Dalembert. Like that's insane still.
He snatched all of his confidence away with one rambling white man dunk.
And he bodied him too. That's like it wasn't like he dunked it over him. Like he bodied the shit out of Dallin Bear. Like that's an all-time Magic poster still. But yeah, with this Pistons game, like we went from worrying about Alec Burks and Bogdan Bogdan or sorry, Bojan Bogdanovic to now worrying about Fontecchio and Evan Fournier. Bolts was huge off the bench. Like he had this like crazy 6-point burst that we needed terribly in the first quarter, and he just kept it going the next period on both ends of the floor. Just big energy from Markel. What do you think of Markel mostly coming off the bench? Whether it's Suggs starting at point guard or Anthony Black starting at point guard, like Fultz, it seems to be he's coming off that bench with Cole Anthony and kind of playing off of him. I'm a little concerned to have both Fultz and Cole on the floor together. Like I would rather start Fultz and have Black and Cole together, but it's been okay, honestly. And look, Markel's going to be free agent in the offseason, if we don't sign him to extension before that or whatnot. But you know, with Markel, I don't like there's Magic fans that think he's gone in the offseason, and I would just pump the brakes on that because Markel's shooting jumpers better again. Like the thoracic outlet syndrome is kind of going away from him because he's not taping his shoulder up like before. And you know, he's taking shots. Some nights it's solid, some nights it's not, but he's taking shots. I mean, he's even hitting like a three here or there, right? I mean, I'm fine with it, and it's gonna be interesting to see how if Fultz can keep building himself up before we get to the postseason. Because if he shows up in the playoffs, like that changes a lot of stuff for him, money wise, contract wise. You know, for now, you know, it seems like they're building it up, and it seems to be working out okay for us, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's working well enough, and it to me it sparks a more interesting question, which I'm sure we'll get into later, and in the weeks to come and months to come, or month to come, about the playoff rotation itself. Because you've seen the Magic, obviously, guys in and out with injuries, but even at full strength, Mosley's been running, we'll call it a 9.5-man rotation. One of the strengths of the team all season long has been the bench unit, bench play as a whole, the depth of the team. You know, when you get into the playoffs, the rotations shrink a little bit. Will the Magic continue to play nine? Will they go eight and a half? Who falls out? Who gets squeezed out? And in that squeeze out, obviously you're talking about Markelle Fultz and Jonathan Isaac, who are outside of Joe Ingles, basically the only two guys on the roster with any, you know, limited playoff experience. So it'll be interesting to see how the season closes and then the decisions that are made in terms of minutes and rotation as we get into the playoffs and probably, you know, opponent dependent as well.
Yeah, and I guess Gary too. I can't remember how many postseason playoff games he's been in, but he's been in a few, I think. But
Yeah.
yeah, and I mean, you say 9.5, right? Because like Caleb Houston's kind of sometimes he plays, sometimes he doesn't. Which Caleb's been solid, man. I mean, second round pick, he's doing what I thought he'd be doing based off the role we gave him in his rookie year, where it's like he's knocking down threes, he's playing solid defense. You know, Chuma is on the way outside looking in. Caleb's got, you know, Caleb can play rotation minutes. I mean, we saw it last night with the Wizards game where Paolo and Franz's minutes got staggered, you know, or got stacked in the second half, you know, during that big comeback we were making. And we haven't seen too much of that during the regular season, but I feel like that makes sense where you find a way to in the playoffs to have at least one of Paolo or Franz on the floor at all times. And this is where not overplaying your players much in the regular season kind of pays off because one, you know, in the playoffs, you don't have to worry about back to backs, but two, like you have less of the wear and tear than, say, a Tom Thibodeau Knicks team that's given decimated by injury now because of all the minutes they've racked up. The Magic look. Are going to be much fresher in comparison to that situation. So back to this Pistons game, you know, Magic were up 59-50 at halftime. An 8-0 Magic run to open the third got us up by 17. Suggs had this huge alley-oop block while the Magic were up 27. It looked like it was going to be another 30-point win, and then just the Pistons, they came back against our bench. Like, we were only up 13 with 9:07 left. The starters came back in. It took a while, but you know, they eventually closed it out. We swept the Pistons. It's the first time we've swept Detroit in 25 years, and that put us out of the play-in and back in the top six again. So, and then between that and now Tuesday's Magic Charlotte's game, I do want to bring up that the Hawks waived a 35-year-old Patty Mills. You a Patty fan, Penny?
I've always been a Patty fan, and we talked about this. I was surprised, especially in light of how Atlanta's season has gone, that they didn't give him a little bit more run at any point in time.
Yeah, especially since he's actually still shooting well from deep. That's the crazy thing. And it's like, you couldn't have used Patty. That it's just bizarre. And he still plays well for the Australian national team. Like, that was last year. Patty was still playing pretty well. I'll be honest, I would have waived Chuma to get Patty and team him up with Ingles. And just Patty brings guard depth and experience that we definitely will need. And instead now, the Miami Heat picked up Patty Mills. So we'll see how that pans out. Probably well for them because it's the Heat. But Penny, would you have waived Chuma to get Patty? Or is this like a good vibes thing that you just don't fuck up at this point?
Yeah, I mean, certainly he could probably come in and hit a three and would be a good locker room addition, but it seems like an upsetting the apple cart kind of deal with not a huge payoff with whatever role he would, you know, limited role he would be walking into here. So all's well that ends well, except for you're right. I will look forward to him playing probably a way more meaningful role in Miami's postseason success than anybody anticipates.
All right, so Tuesday. So again, we're recording this Tuesday, 2 days ago. The Magic were in Charlotte, start of this, what I considered a huge three-game road trip. Fultz was out for this first game of the back-to-back because Markel, if he has a choice, he's not missing playing in D.C. So he missed this Hornets game. A very sleepy Charlotte atmosphere, I would say. Vasily Micic was very good for Steve Clifford's team early and often in this game. Just big 6'5 guy, poor man's Luka basically, but he's 30 years old and he's a EuroLeague MVP, and he's Micic is good. I, you know, the Thunder basically gave him away and in that Hayward trade, and yeah, that Micic is good. I'd be curious to see what he would look like with an offseason under his belt. But anyway, Jonathan Isaac had Grant Williams in hell in this game. In case you need another reminder how crazy J.I.'s defense is. Sloppy first half, though, to watch. The Magic were up 45-43 at the break. And then in the third, we were just energized by these like big-time poster slams by Franz, who did like a Minnesota Timberwolves throwback slam. And then Jalen Suggs had a huge dunk of his own. And it felt like the refs were in a hurry to leave town in this game, as they were not calling much. And guys were getting hacked pretty bad, and they just weren't blowing the whistle. And Mosley even picked up a technical foul, which I think that's Mosley's fourth tech of the year, so of the season. So, and then the Magic just closed this game out in the fourth period. Just, again, beat the bad teams that are in front of you, and we did that. And then we finally got some luck in the other games. We saw the Knicks and the Sixers lose, which that meant the Magic claimed the fourth seed. So, and then since the All-Star break, Gary Harris has made 17 of 25 three-point attempts. So he's shooting 68% from three. Any thoughts on the Hornets before we talk about yesterday's or Wednesday's game in DC, Penny?
Just, it was nice to see the turnovers get cleaned up a little bit in the second half. And, you know, basically the Magic acting like a good team where they go, okay, let's get it together for enough of the game to get out of here with a win.
All right, Magic in D.C., second night of a back-to-back. We've been awful at these this season. Gary and Isaac sat for injury maintenance. Wendell was a late scratch with a sore right knee. The Magic started Goga, Paolo, Franz, Suggs, and Black this time. No Marvin Bagley, which meant the Wizards start Kyle Kuzma at center. The Wizards had lost 15 straight games coming into this, so that's always a red flag in my book for upset potential. Brian Keefe is the interim coach for the Wizards since Wes Unseld Jr. was let go. Poor Magic defense in the opening period. The Magic were down 21 points midway through the second period. Just really awful, just effort. We just looked dead out there. Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma were talking a lot of shit on the floor, which finally woke us up, and the Magic fought back a little bit as the Wizards were up 65-53 at halftime. And the Wizards are a bad team, so being down 12 at halftime to a bad team kind of gives you some confidence there. And then, you know, you had already mentioned Josh Robbins being at that game and having that great athletic piece. You know, basically just strategy be damned. Mosley was in there just telling them to play their asses off. And we did. You know, Kyle Kuzma kept talking until the Magic were only down 67-65 with 7:17 left in the third, as we were using our size advantage finally. 12-2 Magic run at that point. Paolo then ties at 72-72, just fully erasing that 21-point deficit. Anthony Black hit some corner threes. On the second corner three that he hit, he started talking shit back to the Wizards bench. So good on that 20-year-old to start fighting back a little bit there verbally. And the Magic led 77-76. So how nice is Anthony Black's shot looking right now? Because this is quite the resurrection jump shooting wise, because he's getting them up quick and they look nice coming out of his hand. He's banging them in. He's hitting like 40% of late on threes. It's impressive, Benny.
Yeah. I mean, you feel good when the ball gets swung to him, at least in terms of a catch and shoot three. And frankly, you know, it's low volume for him. It's low volume for the team, but there's a lot of guys that are either hot right now or have been hot through the year, like even Wendell over 40%. You feel real confident when, you know, especially when they're all alone, as many of our shooters are, when they get swung the ball, you feel like it's going to drop.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see towards the end of this season, especially in the playoffs, like how much are Paolo and Franz going to get double and triple teamed? Because if we've got guys like Wendell, Black, Suggs, Gary, Cole, yeah, like those guys hitting threes, like that gets interesting. Like that opens the door for Paolo and Franz maybe getting a 40-point game here or there. So the Magic were up 84-83 entering the fourth quarter. Paolo and Franz were each at 23 points. Look, Franz, he's been struggling with that three all season. I think he's been hovering around 30% from three. It hasn't helped that he's beginning to living hell hacked out of him. Like he's getting cut every game. Ernest Eugene is like a seasoned cut man now, if he wasn't before. It was nice to see Franz bury some threes. I'm not concerned about his shooting. Like these Paolo and Franz are going to be fine. It's all growing related stuff. And I mean, they're both still averaging well over 20 points per game. Like I see Magic Twitter just, especially with Franz, get impatient and they just need to shut the fuck up and just enjoy this. So the Magic bench was not good the first three periods of this game. Suggs, I think he had 5 threes in this game. He hit a big three to tie it 96-96 midway through the fourth, or maybe I'm thinking of the Hornets game, but anyway, Suggs is, you know, he's basically a 40% 3-point shooter. He hit that three to tie it 96-96. I did not like Mosley sticking with Cole and Mo when Black and Goga were big defensive reasons why we even initially had come back in this game. But yeah, those two guys shut me up real quick. You know, Cole had that insane sequence where he two-hand blocked, stripped Denny Avdia, and then hit a jumper on the other end to put us up 197. And then this ended up being a Mo Wagner revenge game. He had just this massive fourth quarter. I think he had like 22 points in the game and like 13 or 14 of them came in the fourth. And yeah, we just absolutely blitzed the Wizards to close this game out. We won 119-109 in a game we were down 21 points in. This is the largest comeback of the season for the Magic. It ties our sixth largest comeback win in franchise history. And yeah, we're now 3.5 games back of the third seed Cavaliers. You know, keeping the Magic's, or at least my top six seed playoff goal in mind. Like we stay, yeah, we want to stay out of the play-in. And you know, the Grizzlies did us a favor by winning Philly. The Sixers dropped down to the seventh seed, and we're a game and a half above the Sixers now. So Yeah, what do you think of all that, Penny, in this Wizards game?
Yeah, I mean, again, very similar to the Hornets game. Again, also with the rest disadvantage, but it was nice to see the team kind of rally after coming out of the halftime break, and then specifically close it out in the fourth with vintage Mo Wagner, inside and outside. Fun to see him stick it to, one of his old teams, and more importantly, just at the end of the day, winning that basketball game and the ramifications and the standings in the East.
Absolutely. So looking at my season predictions, we are one game ahead of my 45 win prediction pace, which means I have us on a track for 46 wins. However, for this month of March, I had us only going 8-6, and then 3-5 in April. And that might end up being way, way too conservative. That's why I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to say it, but there's numbers 5 and 0 involved potentially here. Like,
Let me ask you a question as a prognosticator and as a prideful man. Would you rather the Magic finish with 45 wins to be perfect in your prediction, or to finish with more wins? And we'll say, for sake of argument, that it would not impact their seeding at all. They end up same seed.
Now, give me the wins because
Okay.
our franchise, I keep our franchise win loss record all time in my head. And I think we're like 160 or 180 games under 500, I think, at the moment.
For a long time, we were one of the few
Over
franchises that
500.
had it over 500,
Yeah.
especially, all
So,
the teams that came in around when we did.
yeah. So give me as many wins as possible in that regard because
All right,
we
fair
got to
enough.
gain that
You're
back after this past
a good man.
decade plus. So yeah, I don't have that big of an ego. I have a bit of an ego, but it's not that big. So I don't focus on strength of schedule a lot because we now went from the easiest strength of schedule to now the ninth easiest schedule the rest of the way. Why? Well, because now we face East and West contenders. So let's talk schedule a little bit here. So the Magic next have the Knicks tomorrow, Friday. I had this as a loss in my predictions. And look, I was there on MLK Day. This game's gonna be different tomorrow because the Knicks are a wounded animal now, and those fans are, one, tired of losing to us. Two, they know they have to give the team even more support than normal. Three, they might get some guys back, and Ben Stiller's tired of losing to us too. So there's that factor. But yeah, I mean, but that's a winnable game. Even if they get a couple guys back, that's now a winnable game. And you win that, then you move on to the Pacers, where we're back home on Sunday. I had this as a win. Look, back when it happened, people thought I was crazy for saying I didn't think the Pascal Siakam trade would make the Pistons or the Pacers that much better. But they lost Buddy Hield in the process, and Tyrese Haliburton just does not look fully healthy. If we go 1-1 this weekend, that's fine. Like, but if you beat both the Knicks and Pacers, two teams that you're in that 4 through 8 seeding jostling right now with, that gives you some 4 seed cushion there. If you beat them both this weekend, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Penny, on these two games, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I'm real nervous about the Knicks game. They certainly will be exceptionally motivated to kind of atone for some of the earlier meetings this year. But I think a split is what we're looking for. Two would be tremendous in the next two. You don't want to drop both here and kind of go, bottom out from 4 to 8 real quick.
And then you got the Nets March 13th here at home. Like, I had this as a win. We can definitely beat them again. Not sure if Mikal Bridges will be shut down that badly yet again by Franz Wagner, but who knows? It might happen because Bridges was talking heavy shit last time. Then the Magic are at Toronto March 15th. I had this as a loss. And then start of eighth game homestand. As we host the Raptors again, March 17th. So I have this as a, I had a splitting this Raptors, two games here. Had us losing in Toronto on the 15th, but winning at home, against the Raptors on the 17th. But Scottie Barnes is out with a broken hand, and Jakob Poeltl's out as well. There's an opportunity here. It's still going to be games in Toronto are still going to be weird. And that's definitely not going to be a gimme unless Toronto is just blatantly tanking, which they're not doing that yet. But I mean, they're struggling now, but a little tricky two games with the Raptors there. We host the Hornets again. That needs to be a magic win. We then host the Pelicans. I actually had this as a win. I probably thought Zion was going to be hurt or something, but that hasn't happened yet. New Orleans, they're a tough team. They're doing some jostling in the West. This is our West portion now of this 8-game homestand right there. And then we have the Kings, which I have that as a loss. Sabonis has been insane. The Kings, they're fighting to avoid the play-in. I know last year De'Aaron Fox hit that lucky game winner. That might be on our team's mind, hopefully, maybe to get past them there. And then, I mean, we had that amazing game in Sacramento that we didn't win. We should have won, but that was Paolo's sort of big boy game right there. And that's going to be on our team's mind, that game. And then March 27th, we host the Warriors. I have this as a loss. Yeah, we've had a great home history of late against Golden State, but the Warriors are playing really good right now. And it's going to be a great challenge for us. It is. But you can see why, like, the schedule, this portion of the schedule isn't easy, even though a lot of these games are, you know, at home, like, you're still playing really good teams. And then I had the Clippers, which I have this as a magic win. And my predictions, which I probably did this because I thought at least one of Kawhi or Paul George would be out. And then, you know, they didn't have James Harden yet at that time, but they won't have Russell Westbrook, who is out with a broken hand. But the Clippers, they've been awesome this season. They, you know, Westbrook was a big reason why we got our ass kicked early this season in LA against the, you know, Westbrook was a big reason why the Clippers just wrecked us. Not having him involved should help us a lot. But again, I mean, that's still a pretty good team if you got both Kawhi and Paul George out there playing. And who knows if James Harden goes for a triple-double. But that's another big test. And then the last game of March for us, you got the Grizzlies March 30th. I had this as a loss because this is on the second night of a back-to-back, and I figured Ja Morant would be playing. I mean, that's not happening. We royally screwed ourselves by losing at Memphis the last time we faced the Grizzlies, and we have to make up for it here. But, you know, I already mentioned the Magic. They have the third best East home record right now at 21-8. Like, our fans need to bring it even more now because pressure is going to start seeping in for guys a little bit as we're hitting sort of this new territory with this bunch, as you mentioned, just not a lot of experience. And this is a lot of success to deal with. I mean, we're dealing with it well right now, and I hope we keep dealing with it well. But still, with all that said, like, we're now 3-0 in the month of March going into this Knicks game. And my 8-6 March prediction is looking very, very safe. Like, I'll be stunned if we lose six games this month. You know, especially if you know, we don't see like hard injuries here coming up. But thoughts on our schedule, man? Thoughts on any of that I said before I look at kind of our competition and the standings and both their schedules a little bit, just kind of as a comparison?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you make a sentient point here. We're going into the season, and really last season, the goal was to play in meaningful games, and now it is a whole new territory. Obviously, there were some mitigating circumstances earlier in the season, but I think let's be frank, too, that the 9-game winning streak probably got to the heads a little bit of the players. And, you know, on the heels of that was a little downturn. So navigating this is going to be vitally important for where the team's going to end up. But it's there for the taking. There's, you know, 12 home games left on the schedule or whatever, or count the Mexico City 110 or 11 or whatever, but it's favorable. They've taken advantage for the most part to this point. And if they can take advantage over the next month and a half, we're going to be sitting pretty. And now, you know, kind of take a look at how our schedule compares to some of the other teams to see where we might end up.
Yeah. I'm not talking Boston or Milwaukee, even though I know the Bucks are close. Like, I I know the Bucks are on the West Coast trip right now. They got their ass kicked by Golden State, but just I doubt that Boston or Milwaukee slips from 1 and 2. So, but I am going to bring up the Cavs because they're third and we're 3.5 games back at Cleveland, and they've been dealing with injuries. They've been dealing with struggles now after they went on a really hot streak. But you know, they just got beat by the Hawks and on Wednesday, and that's why we're only 3.5 games back of them. But looking at what they got Friday, they host the Timberwolves, they get Brooklyn, and then second night of a back-to-back, they host Phoenix. So that's a challenge right there. Then they go on the road here. On the 13th, Cavs are in New Orleans. They get a couple days off. They play in Houston Saturday, the 16th. Then they're in Indiana. Then they're back home March 20th, hosting the Heat. Then Cleveland's playing the Wolves again, this time in Minneapolis. That's Friday, the 22nd of March. And then they get the Heat again, only this time it's in Miami. It's a Sunday game, March 24th. So hopefully the Cavs party their asses off or whatnot. Although I don't know. It depends. We might be hoping for a Heat loss. Who knows? We'll see how this is all going. But because we haven't gone through the Heat schedule yet. And then they go from Miami to flying all the way back to Cleveland, playing the hosting the Hornets on a second night of a back to back. And then this is a fucked up schedule. They then have to fly to Charlotte. So you play a home game against the Hornets on Monday, the 25th. Then the Cavs go to Charlotte March 27th, and then fly back to Cleveland to host the Sixers on the 29th. And then they finish the month of March on the 31st in Denver. So that's a lot harder than our schedule, right, Penny?
I would say so.
So that's Cleveland for you. And that's why the Magic might be able to reel them in a little bit here. If the Magic can take care of business overall and then pick up a good win or two against a couple of these West teams, like this third seed's not out of the question. I can't rule it out right now. So that's exciting. That's insane. It's exciting. All right. So looking below us, because we're fourth now, you got the Knicks fifth, who are a half game back of us now. The Knicks have a rest advantage on us going into tomorrow night, Friday night. And you know, they may get a few players back. We'll see. I mean, Tibbs has run this team into the ground with all those minutes, you know, between like Hartenstein being hurt here and there and just Brunson, Randle, Anunoby. We do have the tiebreaker on the Knicks, though, so that's a big deal. Even if we lose to them Friday, we still have the tiebreaker on him. And you know, the rest of the Knicks schedule for March is, how do you like this? You get Sixers Knicks twice in Madison Square Garden, March 10th and then March 12th. So there's either the Knicks are going to keep struggling a little bit, or the Sixers are really going to fall down in the standings. And then the Knicks start a West road trip, March 14th. They're at Portland, so Blazers aren't good, but hey, man, you're on the road out west. Who knows? They then are in Sacramento, March 16th. Then the Knicks play the Warriors, March 18th, in San Francisco, and then they get a few days off before playing in Denver against the Nuggets. And then on the 21st, on the 23rd, the Knicks are back home, hosting the Brooklyn Nets. They then on the 25th host the Pistons. They're in Toronto on the 27th. They're at the Knicks on the 29th, and they host the Thunder on the 31st. So there's like a week there with like Nets, Pistons, Raptors, where you know, if they get guys back, they'll be, you know, they'll rack up wins there. But there's some challenges there. Now, the good thing for the Knicks, lucky bastards, is they have no back-to-backs in this stretch now. But I wouldn't want their schedule of them being on a West road trip. So, thoughts on that, Benny?
I mean, it's tough. And again, to your point, if we could somehow clip them Friday night, and then let them go back to back with, upcoming
Sixers.
with Philadelphia, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, everyone except for Miami, where we have the season series advantage, is really going to come in handy here down the stretch, obviously.
Okay, Miami, fucking Heat. So game back of us. They're gonna be right on our heels. And they have the tiebreaker on us, which I hope does not bite us in the ass. I think they have an easier schedule than us going the rest of the month. So it gets tricky though this week though. There's opportunity to create a little bit of separation for the Magic potentially here, because tonight the Heat are in Dallas against Luka and the Mavs on TNT, and then Friday, second night of a back-to-back, they're in OKC against the Thunder. That's got to be a schedule loss. The Thunder got to beat Miami, man, on Friday. And then the Heat host the Wizards on the 10th. They then host the Nuggets on the 13th. They get a few days off before they get an ESPN game against the Nuggets on the 13th. The Heat are then in Detroit for two games. So 15th and 17th, they're in Detroit. The Heat are in Philly on the 18th. There's no way Embiid will be back for that. It's so second night of a back-to-back in Philly, but that's a game that Miami can get. 18th, the Heat are in Cleveland. So I mean, the Magic again, that between the 20th and then 22nd, the Heat host the Pelicans. 24th, the Heat host the Cavs. So you have that 4-day stretch basically where the Heat play the Cavs twice. It's going to be interesting to see who we're rooting for by then. 2 weeks changes a lot, but it's going to be interesting to see who we're rooting for in those Heat Cavs games. But then the Heat host the Warriors on the 26th. Heat host the Blazers on the 29th. And then the Heat are at the Wizards to close out the month of March on the 31st. So I think that is an easier schedule than us overall, but again, you got to show up and play. And I mean, it's pretty road heavy. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's the Magic have more home games than away games, but this is a pretty heavy away schedule for the Heat, but there's a lot of winnable games there. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? Is Miami the biggest threat right now to catch us out of the guys, out of the teams behind us right now? Knicks, Heat, Sixers, Pacers. Miami's the biggest threat, right?
I mean, depending on how much you like Nick Nurse, but yeah, I think Miami's the biggest threat. And consistently, the last few years, they always seem to turn it up the last quarter of the season, and then obviously going into the playoffs. So to me, they're the team I'm most concerned about. And again, to your point, and to our dismay, they own the season series over, so a tie is a win for them as well.
All right, Sixers, they're seventh. They're a game and a half back of us. They're screwed right now without Embiid, I think. Like Buddy Hield and Maxey have been doing as well as they can, but like Tobias Harris has been struggling. They got Mo Bamba starting at center. Like the Sixers are in trouble. And look, Embiid might come back next month, but in what sort of state, physically? And Philly's schedule isn't that great. I know, the Sixers, they've got the tiebreaker over us, but I don't think it's going to end up mattering as long as the Magic are taking care of business. Like, I think out of those teams that we're competing against, like the Sixers are probably going to end up at eighth or even worse at that point. But, Philly hosts the Pelicans Friday. Then they've got two games against the Knicks, both in Madison Square Garden, Sunday the 10th and then Tuesday the 12th. An ESPN and a TNT there for you. So that could be, that's a big market thing, obviously. So, and then on the 14th, the Sixers are in Milwaukee. They're back in Philly on the 16th to host the Hornets. The 18th, they host the Heat. 20th, they're in Phoenix. This is the start of a West Coast road trip for the Sixers. They're at Phoenix on the 20th. They're at the Lakers on the 22nd. 24th, at the Clippers. Second night of a back-to-back, they're in Sacramento on the 25th. And then they fly back to Philly, and guess what? You play the Clippers again on the 27th, even though it's a home game. You've got the Sixers at Cleveland on the 29th and the Sixers at Toronto on the 31st. So that's pretty brutal. Like I'm not worried about Philly. As long as the Magic take care of business, I'm not worried about Philly catching us. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, when you lay it out, the whole thing about it is, to me, like they're relying on guys that, I mean, other than Maxey, like you're relying on guys that can't, either due to age or gap in skill, bridge that gap with Embiid out. So The fall has not been surprising. The schedule is tough. That being said, I'm still wary of ending up in a place where we end up having to play them in the postseason.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. Hey, man, we like going up to Philly. At least I like going up to Philly. We'll talk about playoff series preferences here, but yeah, look, Philly with Embiid, without Embiid, it's very different. And even without Embiid, you're right, Nurse can be scary as a postseason head coach, and they've still got Maxey, Hield. Like, there's talent. There's talent there. So, all right, last team we're going to talk about is the Pacers, who are eighth. They're two games back of us, or Indy. The Pacers, they host the Timberwolves tonight. That's a huge game for Indy. Minnesota is in Indy tonight. Then, obviously, they fly to Orlando. The Magic host the Pacers on March 10th. And then Indy's got to fly to OKC to face the Thunder on the 12th. And then second night of a back-to-back, even though they're back in Indianapolis, it's the second night of a back-to-back, they get the Bulls. Maybe Vooch might do us a favor for that game. They get a couple days rest. They host the Nets on the 16th. They host the Cavs on the 18th. They then go to Detroit and play the Pistons in Detroit on the 20th. And then guess what? The Pacers are on a West Coast road trip too. So the Pacers go to San Francisco to face the Warriors on March 22nd. March 24th, they're at the Lakers. And then guess what? Second night of a back-to-back, you get the Clippers in LA on the 25th. Pacers finish their road trip at the Chicago Bulls on the 27th. And then they finish the month of March. Guess what? They get the Lakers again, only this time at home on the 29th. So not a great schedule. Again, the Magic, they're done with West Coast road trips. Like, we're hosting West teams. That's a big difference. And I don't know. What do you make of the Pacers, man? I haven't watched too much of them lately. I know Halliburton's, it seems like the hamstring's still an issue for them, and it's been showing in some games. I know they've had a couple good wins here of late, but I don't know if that Siakam trade's paying off. I mean, maybe they'll figure it out. Rick Carlisle's a really great head coach, and maybe he'll get them refocused. But, you know, them losing Buddy Hield, I think it was a bigger deal than people made it out to be. And, I think the Pacers are looking like the seventh team, like a seventh seed right now. Maybe sixth if the Knicks keep slipping. But, they're definitely going to be competing with the Magic. Like, I think they're a bigger competitor or trying to catch us than the Sixers are. But Pacers thoughts, Benny?
Yeah, it's tough with them. Obviously, offensively, they're so good. But even after the trade, the defense being so porous that I feel like it's hard for them to string long stretches together of solid play, obviously, when you can't stop anybody. So to me, I'm not super concerned about Indiana catching up again. Two-game lead right now, effectively three. And frankly, wouldn't mind seeing them in the playoffs, but I don't think that'll shake out that way either.
No, that'd be really bizarre if that happened. Like, it would literally, I think, take the Magic being either the second or third seed for that to pretend to possibly play out. But yeah, that's being ambitious. Like, it could happen. Can't rule it out. But yeah, the Magic having the tiebreaker over the Pacers is huge there. So, all right, I'm not gonna talk about, like, hey man, do you think after a few weeks we'll still be the fourth seed or third seed? Like, we're gonna enjoy this. We're gonna enjoy this. We're gonna stress over this. We're gonna hopefully keep this going. But what potential playoff series matchup out of those teams we talked about would be your preference? Because for me, and I've seen Magic fans be totally against this, but for me, it's Miami. Like, we haven't met the Heat in the playoffs since 1997. Like, stoke the rivalry flames here. Like, it would also, I think, help us long-term growth-wise for Mosley and just the players as a whole. And the front office would learn a lot going into the offseason for sure if we had to go and face in Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, et cetera, in a playoff series, considering – you know, how many times they've been in the finals and how competitive they've been. Would winning a playoff series for the first time since 2010 be great to end that drought? Yes, of course, but this is about winning a title. And I can't think of a matchup that tests us the best from so many facets than Miami. I don't know. What's your thought? Do you got a preference?
You sold that one really well. I'm of the mind frame that I would like to avoid Miami at all costs. But
you're not the only one, man. That's people been pushing back against me. But you gotta face them eventually, most likely, you know, at some point, be it this year or next year. Like, it's gonna have to happen. Do it this year, rip the Band-Aid off.
A valid point, and certainly for, you know, again, the bulk of the roster's first postseason experience to go against guys that literally were just playing in the finals, certainly doesn't hurt. My preference is New York, and not solely based on the outcomes of the games this year, because as you know, the regular season and the postseason is markedly different, but another great tactician and playoff coach in Tom Thibodeau. I'm sure I'll pull my hair out watching Julius Randle go for 30 and 15. But I do think there is a little bit of merit in terms of us having so much length to try and neutralize Jalen Brunson a little bit in a way that would make it a very competitive and compelling series.
Also, we've never faced the Knicks in a playoff series. Like, that's my second pick. Like, if it's not Miami, yeah, like, give me the Knicks. But we've never faced the Knicks in a playoff series. All the other teams we've talked about, we faced in the playoffs, just not the Knicks in our franchise's history. And let's be honest, if this happens, like, we got to go to a playoff game at MSG, right? Like, I doubt we can afford two, but we got to go to one road playoff game at MSG if this happens, right?
Yeah, I mean, and that's a great experience for the players too. I mean, obviously, Madison Square Garden on any night is a great atmosphere, but playoffs in the Garden, a whole different animal. How many teams in the East have we never played in the playoffs other than New York? I can't think of any off the top of my head.
You're catching me off guard here. Let me see if I can.
I think they might be the only ones, so it would be fun to check that one. Because we played against New Jersey in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, we did that. Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was one of the McGrady years. Yeah, we did. We did McGrady. We've done Toronto. We've done Charlotte. We've done Detroit. Have we done the Wizards? I don't think we did Wizards.
So maybe Wizards, Brooklyn, and New York are the.
Brooklyn doesn't count because it's Jersey. Brooklyn doesn't count. I mean, it'd be cool to go to Brooklyn. I haven't been to Barclays. You haven't been to Barclays. That'd be kind of cool. Not likely to happen this year, but yeah, it's because Boston we've played the Bucks, we've played fucking George Karl and the bubble as well, I guess. But Cavs, we beat LeBron. Knicks, we haven't faced. Miami, we've done it once in 97. Sixers, couple times there. Pacer. Yeah, I mean, it's literally just the Wizards and the Knicks are the only conference foes we haven't faced in the playoffs. So yeah, give me the Knicks. Why not? It'd be really fun. It'd also either way beat the Heat or the Knicks. Like, our fan base is gonna get tested too. Like, we're gonna see like how many fans are in our building, but we're also gonna see how many Magic fans are in their building. Like, don't rule that shit out either. So but yeah, I mean, I don't want to jump ahead too far, man. Like, we got this big weekend ahead right here. You know, if we beat both the Knicks and the Pacers this weekend, like, we create some fourth seed cushion, I feel like. And who knows how far back of the third seed we are at going into next week. Like, but we really, you know, we really do got to take these one game at a time. Like, somehow try and win again in Madison Square Garden, come back, try and beat the Pacers at home, you know, because those are two teams that if they're hitting threes, like, we're in trouble. But we've been hitting some threes ourselves. So any other final thoughts before we basically get out of here, Penny, from a playoff perspective, from a standings perspective? Like, it's not out of the question that home court's right there on the table, be it fourth seed, third seed. Like, it's there. Like, it's very possible because we've earned our way to this position where our schedule isn't going to murder us. Like, we've got a shot here.
I think as of today, early March, the goal is still to avoid the play-in.
Yes.
And then beyond that, push for home court to make it, again, to your point, the greatest learning experience possible for this group's first run into the postseason. But let's avoid that play-in.
All right. I got one final thing real quick. So on the urging of some friends and some Magic fans, I created a change.org petition to have Shaq's number 32 retirement jersey banner inside the Kia Center change to reflect what Shaq's actual jersey was when he wore it, not the generic CJ Watson jersey that's hanging up in the rafters. And it's not going great, the petition. And look, we live in an age now where 10 years ago, this probably would have took off, but people don't like signing stuff, be it for petitions or whatever, but I'm trying. I'm giving it a shot. I'm trying. If you want to sign it, you can find it online on change.org. Just put in like Shaq 32 or Shaq retirement jersey and it'll come up. But that's all I got. Anything else you're looking forward to before we get out of here, Penny?
I'd love to see more people sign the petition because I think it's the right thing to do. And I'd like to see your petition get more signatures on it. But other than that, looking forward to a fun weekend of basketball ahead. And man, it's going to be nice to really in April get to enjoy Magic basketball with an eye, not just on the future, but on the present as well.
Yeah. Also to George Diaz, I'm aware this is a first world problem, the petition. Like, I'm very fully aware that this has no comparison to famine or war or genocide. Like, this is a first world problem here that we're dealing with. So I get that. But anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. If you're still listening, we thank you very much for your time. I don't think I've ever ended a pod on genocide. So there we go. I'll just leave it at that. But we are the longest running Magic podcast show in existence. So any added support is much appreciated. Subscribing, rating the show highly, positive comments all help this podcast ranking immensely. Tweet us any of your questions and feedback. Penny, what's your Twitter handle?
At Spencer Strode.
No C's, just S's. And I'm at Papa Giorgio MBO. And with that, take care. Let's go Magic.